I'm still here. I made it. I'm still here. Certainly we thank God for just blessing us to be here. I'm just thankful today that God saw fit to bless us and to keep us in this day and time and give us another worship experience. And then today I didn't have to ride solo. My oldest daughter, Taylor, rode with me this morning. Come on, bless the Lord for Taylor. Now the wife and the baby's at home, wife recuperating and a baby growing. Y'all ask me how she's doing. She's in charge. I thought about trying her tactic, but I don't think I'll look right if I cry and wait on you all to answer, come to my beck and call. But the Lord has blessed us with a beautiful daughter and a healthy wife, and certainly we thank God. All of our children are healthy and doing well, and we're thankful. Amen. Matthew 25. I want to read just two verses from the selective passage. Verses 6 and verse 13. 6 and 13. If you are able to stand, please stand for the reverence and respect of God's word. And I ask that you keep your Bibles open today, and I want you all to journey with me as we look at this together. I think this is a fitting passage that the Lord has given us, because we are so afraid of things in the earth that we're not focused on eternity.
Amen.
That if the truth be told, none of us are here to stay. And instead of watching for Him, we're too busy listening to them. And so I just want to take my time. I may not even get to a hoop. Y'all didn't think I was going to hoop every Sunday, did you? Amen. But I want to take my time and look at this, because this warrants our attention, because we have to have the right focus if we are going to go back with Him when He comes again.
Amen.
Verse 6 says, "And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." What if Jesus decided to come today while people are responding in fear? You may be seated. Look at your neighbor and say, "Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, is coming again." Now look at him and say, "Are you ready?
Are you
ready?" Matthew chapter 25 follows what I call prophetic discourse of things to come. Jesus preached the prophetic sermon at the close of his ministry. He wanted to prepare his disciples for his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and his second coming. He also wanted to confront the ill idea of putting aside, delaying, if you will, the acceptance of the king and doing the assignment of his kingdom. You can't afford to put off your faith in Christ. Let me say that again. You can't afford to put off, delay your faith in Jesus Christ. Regrettably, a lot of people say they will think about Jesus later on, another day, another week, another month, another year. They put off accepting Jesus as King and busying themselves with the assignment of the kingdom because they believe they have time. Brothers and sisters, you don't know if you have another day. You don't know if you have another week, another month, another year, another decade. You don't know when the Lord is coming. And this particular text, Jesus uses to confront this idea of being idle and doing nothing as we await His second coming. Jesus is coming again. Every Sunday I look at that sign. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready to meet Him? Jesus is coming soon. It's in bold print because the sign to our attention to warn us of doing what some people are doing. Notice in the prophecy, because this concerns the end time or the end of age, Jesus sets this particular parable before His disciples. And you know, a parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. It's an earthly story with spiritual meaning. Heavenly significance. He says the kingdom of God is like 10 virgins. 10 virgins who was awaiting the coming of the bridegroom. 10 virgins. He says that they were waiting for the coming of the bridegroom because a marriage was to take place. And you know, marriages at that time were different than marriages of today. Then, prior to the marriage, the bride and groom were engaged for about a year. During the engagement, the bride and groom would not see one another. But after the engagement period, the bride would then come back to officially marry the bride. And unlike our traditional marriage ceremonies today, where the bride comes in last to get the grand entrance, in the ancient context, it's the groom who comes in last. Bride is waiting. Light bearers are waiting. Waiting for the bride to come, or the groom to come, to take the bride. And the weddings usually happen at night, so there had to be light bearers. These 10 virgins does not represent the bride or the brides of the groom, but they are light bearers. The text says he went away, and his stay was delayed. And while they were waiting, because his stay was delayed, they all went to sleep. All went to sleep.
That's right.
Sleep can be symbolic of death, because Paul likens death as to sleep. That's why, as a believer, you can't worry about death, because all of us have been asleep. Death doesn't hurt for the believer because Jesus Christ has took the sting out of death. And so when he lay us down and we await his coming, or if we fall asleep and await his coming, there is no harm and hurt in sleep.
All right.
But the problem is if you fail to prepare before you fall asleep. They all went to sleep. Because he tarried long. The text says there was an announcement made. Here comes the bridegroom. Sleep. Here comes the bridegroom. So notice the pronouncement of the bridegroom. Verse 6, at midnight. It wasn't shortly after night had fallen. It was 6 hours or so after night had fallen. And here comes the bridegroom. At midnight. Midnight is when we are less alert. Midnight is when we are falling asleep. Midnight is when most of us are unconscious of the world around us. At midnight, there was a cry made. The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming. The cry was made the same night the groom came. In other words, there was no far off or prior warning of his coming. The bridegroom came the same night the warning was made. You got to watch this pronouncement. Notice he tarried. This refers to the long delay between ascension and his second coming. It said that every age Christian should expect the Lord Jesus Christ to return in his lifetime.
That's right.
We preaching Jesus is coming. We preaching Jesus is coming. Matter of fact, Jesus is coming has been preached for over 2,000 years. And so many people have gotten so immune to the message that they are living as if they got time. Same message. Preached for over 2,000 years. He's coming again. And when we hear it, it has little to no effect on us. Jesus said there would be a delay period. In Matthew 24:48, Jesus said, the evil servant said in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. Jesus said in Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants come and reckons with them. Jesus said a period of time would lapse between his ascension and return. He tells us that there will be time. Time, even as he deals with that harlot of a woman, Jezebel, he says, I gave her space. Which means a succession of time. He gives us time. There will be a delay. He did not tell us how many days. How many weeks? How many months? How many years? How many decades? How many centuries? And he's purposeful in telling us, not telling us how long the delay would be, because if we knew exactly when he was coming back, we would live like him. All the way up. until he come again.
Amen.
Some of us wouldn't be in church today.
All right.
If we knew exactly when he was coming back.
That's right.
He does not tell us exactly when he's coming again. He keeps us in suspense. He keeps us alert. And he keeps us watching. He does not tell us how long it would be between his ascension and resurrection. He simply says, I go to prepare a place, and if I go, I will come again and receive you. How long that go away will last, we don't know. No man can tell you when the second coming of Jesus will take place. It may be nearer than you expect.
All right.
It may be closer than you think.
Yeah, that's right.
See, you don't know how much time you have.
All right.
The Bible says the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will come as a thief in the night. And I don't know a thief that gets on the phone to call the person that they plan to go in and rob or to steal or to take from and warn them beforehand and say, I'm coming.
All right.
Like a thief.
Take your time.
In the night. He comes under the cloak of darkness to take. You don't know. We worried about all of these viruses. And who told you you're here to stay anyway?
That's right.
Don't you know some kind of vehicle got to take you out of this world?
That's right.
You know all of this stuff is nothing but vehicles.
Yes, sir.
Limousine services that God uses to escort or to bring his people into his presence.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's why you can't fret about cancer and all of these different diseases and all of these viral things that's coming upon the earth and plagues that's in the earth. Because listen, you're going to die from something. In your wellest day, you sick enough to die.
That's right.
Your best day can be your death day. I told us last Sunday, we're not keeping ourselves. Jesus is a keeper. And listen, if he doesn't keep you, you won't be kept. I don't care how much vitamin you take. I don't care how much exercising you're doing.
That's right.
I don't care how much food or this organic food that you eat.
That's right.
The old folks say there's a leak.
All right.
In this old building. In my soul. Has got to move. You know, you worried about the corona and all of that. Don't you know over 55,000 people died from the flu last year? And he can use whatever he wants to use.
That's right.
To call you from earth to glory. And you think you smart enough to duck and dodge. He comes as a thief.
Yeah.
In the night.
Yeah.
Lord, help me here. And no man knows when he's coming. Paul said to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-2, of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You know, I was thinking the day when they started talking about all of this. How many of us too afraid to drive because the person in the car that's approaching us may be sleeping?
That's right.
You know what's happening in your car.
Yeah.
But you don't know what's happening in the oncoming car.
That's right. That's right.
See, there are many ways.
Many ways.
God can call you from these shores. Call you from this place into his presence. And listen, he says, it's coming as a thief in the night. None of us know. But listen, it's important for us to understand that there's a pronouncement made.
Yeah.
It's coming. He's coming. If he's coming, you need preparation. Right in the text. He says 10 virgins, and he splits the virgins in half. He puts them into two categories, wise and foolish. I heard one old preacher say that at this particular moment, the Lord divides the church, the local church, in half.
All right.
That some people who think wise are not wise. In church, that's why they still talk about sense. I had one the other day tell me, said, well, God gives you 5 senses. I said, what they got to do with anything?
That's right.
Because all of your senses appeal to the physical world.
That's right.
See, God gives you a 6th sense.
Come on now.
And it's called faith.
All right.
See, faith goes above your sight, your smell, your hearing, your taste, and your touch. Because all of those senses apply to the physical world. But listen, he gives you faith to tap into his kingdom.
That's right.
If you go, listen, he's coming again. And if he's coming again, preparation is necessary. Listen, he's coming if you prepare or not.
All right.
Right in the text, he's coming.
That's right.
If you prepared or not.
Amen.
Y'all still okay? There's 5 wise and 5 foolish. All of them went to sleep, but the wise went to sleep with extra oil. See, it's best to have too much than to have too little. They went to sleep with extra oil. And they had their lamps full of oil. And the foolish went to sleep with only oil in the lamps.
That's right.
Crap made. Everybody heard the same cry.
Yes, sir.
Everybody, all the 10 went running to the bridegroom. Yes. And the 5 foolish discovered that they had no preliminary preparation to participate.
That's right.
They only done enough to get back. And that's how some people are in church, not going to do anything extra. They just don't do enough. To buy. But listen, that's not enough, because the old church would say, I'm loving trying to make 100, because 99 and a half won't do.
Yes, sir.
Five foolish. Made inadequate preparations. Didn't really have enough oil to sustain them. Watch the text. The five foolish made inadequate preparation. It is a dismal and depressing thing to discover your lack and unreadiness when it's too late. Oh Lord Jesus. That some people are the saved, I don't know. I hope I'm saved. I don't know. Don't know if you got Jesus in your heart or not. A lot of people in church don't even know if they can lose their salvation or if their salvation is secure.
That's right. That's right.
Don't know. A lot of people even don't even know who Jesus is.
That's right. That's right.
Don't you think because you dress up on Sunday, you really know him? But, and I'm not just talking about surface knowledge of Christ. I'm talking about epinosis. I'm talking about knowing him in your experiences. Have gone through some things, and you can look back over your life and know that it was nobody but the Lord who brought you out. And there's nobody but the Lord who's going to carry you all the way. Do I have anybody in this room with that kind of faith that know that if the Lord don't keep me, I won't be kept? I'm not saying faith. I've got real faith. In a real God. In a real Savior. They didn't have enough oil. They just had enough to sustain them for a little while. A lot of people like that too. They only went to church for a little while. They only went to Christ for a little while. As long as things are good, I got a little light.
Yeah, a little light.
But let the winds blow. And the rains descend. And beat upon them. They lean and keep leaning like an old oak tree when there's too much water in the ground and the wind is blowing. The roots surface and the tree tumbles. And I know a whole lot of people that have leaned and fallen years ago and they hadn't sprung back yet. Inadequate preparations will leave you leaning. I'm preaching, but y'all saying amen. Inadequate preparations.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Will leave you leaning.
Yeah.
He says, five foolish. What made them foolish is they didn't prepare for the inevitable. They didn't prepare for his coming.
Yes, sir.
He says, there are five wise.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch the text. The five wise went out with the five foolish and met the bridegroom. And they trimmed their lamps and they had extra oil with them.
That's right.
They were prepared.
Yes,
I like that. And then the five foolish began to ask for oil. Listen, don't you know you can't make other folk ready?
Yeah.
People can't bother. Readiness.
That's right. That's right.
Boy, I just said something there.
That's right.
You can't buy the readiness. I don't care how much you talk about Big Mama's testimony and Granddad's testimony and Auntie Loreen's testimony and Uncle Johnny Buck's testimony. Listen, you can't buy the readiness.
That's right.
You will have to spend some time for yourself and getting ready. I like what Brother said about the song. You know, when he lost his job, he went to different persons and he discovered that he couldn't lean and depend on him, but Jesus got some shoulders. If you need somebody to lean on, Pastor said, fall down on your knees. And you need to have a little talk with the Lord. You've got to be prepared and ready.
That's right.
Don't be so easily disturbed in your faith.
Yeah.
Taken in your faith.
Yeah.
By what you hear.
Yeah.
What people say.
Yeah.
Because you got to be ready.
Yeah.
There's preparations.
Yeah.
Necessary for participation in the joys.
Yeah. That's right.
Everybody talking about heaven. Everybody, I mean, even lost folk, people that don't believe in Jesus Christ. I mean, folks are now even arguing that there's more than one way to get to heaven. That you know, universalism, you know, you everybody eventually be saved and all of that. You got all of these arguments, but you know, listen, you got to be ready.
Yeah.
And you got to be ready according to Scripture.
Yeah.
Watch the text when I'm finished. It was a pronunciation made.
Yeah.
The bridegroom coming.
Yeah, that's right.
Preparation necessary for participation.
Right.
But watch the processional of the bridegroom.
Right.
He only takes the five wives.
Yeah.
Now, hear this. There's no foolishness in heaven.
That's right.
See, heaven has no fools.
That's right. Amen.
Lord, help me hold me now. There's no foolishness in heaven. He only takes the five wives.
That's right.
And he goes in with the five wives, and he shuts the door. Now, the five foolish were told to go purchase oil, and they spent their money on something that would not gain them entrance.
That's right.
They get to the door and they are banging on the door to no avail.
That's right.
Five wives in the marriage feast with the bridegroom and the five foolish is stuck on the other side of the door.
That's right.
What is this? He says they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. They that were ready went in. Now, they that were ready, and I just like how it sounds. They that were ready went in. They that made proper preparations went in. They that have repented of their sin went in. They that have truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ went in. They that have lived holy lives went in. And they that waited for his coming went in. and the door.
Yes, sir.
But
Yeah.
The same door that gains entrance for some shut others out. And listen, to be on the other side of the door is a symbol of being in hell. When he comes, and if you're not prepared, your eternity is hell. If he decided to come today, while people listening to the news stations, why they talking among themselves, hearing this and that, how many people would go in? And how many people will be shut out? Come here. Come here, because, you know, this is on the heels of the description of rapture. He talks about how one would be taken and one left. If he decided to come today, how many people would be left sitting as a congregation in New Bethlehem?
That's right. That's right.
And how many of us would be taken? I'm going with the, you know, with the, I'm going with the rapture group. Yeah. Because listen, he wants us to be ready. And the Bible says this, live every day as if it's your last. If this was your last time to worship, what would your worship be? What would your participation be? What would your giving be? What would your embrace be? You know, some, well, you know, this virus coming. My last day. I'm jumping on everybody. Hugging everybody. Listen, the world constantly takes our minds off of what God is saying. And we're operating by fear. And fear is the enemy of faith. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He gives us faith. And faith prepares us.
Yeah. That's right.
Good preaching. Good preaching.
Be prepared to meet him in his coming hour. Is as a thief in the night, and no man knows. So you have to weigh the weight of the world's word and God's word. Whose report are you going to believe? I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm trusting in him. Listen, today as the music plays softly. I was going to try to work up me a hoop, but I don't have no hoop, man. As the music plays softly, I want all of us to stand to our feet. There may be somebody here today that have not... that have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You can come today and receive him. Receive him while you have time. You don't have tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. You only have now. Come on, come on, come on. Trust him with your soul. Trust him with your life. Lay off your weight on him, and God will keep you. He will bless you. Come. He says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open, I will come in unto him. And I will sup with him, and he with me. Come. 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 If you can believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Come on, come on, come on. Secondly, you may be here in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid this church on your heart. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. Third, if you're here and you need to be restored, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. The Lord is able to restore, refocus, rebuild, re-energize you. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Come on. Come on, let the whole family. Come on. There's another. There are others. Come on.
Receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart to be saved. All right. Everybody needs to. All right. To be saved, the Bible says that you have to believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that he was sent to die in our place for our good. He died on the cross of Calvary for us. The Bible says he that knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. What does that mean? That means that if we believe him, he makes us right with God. Not by what we do, but in whom we believe. The Bible says if you can believe in your heart, believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, and confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved.
Yes,
sir. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Can you, do you believe in your heart, brother, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Amen. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, can you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of my life?
Yes, sir. I confess.